behind in front of you or underneath you, and you're going to open up to Matthew 25:14 in the blue Bibles on the floor there. It's on page 852, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. So, kind of crazy in my mind that this has gone by so fast, but I started working here on staff of the church almost 9 months ago. It was my first day. And on my first day, I'm sitting in my office, setting stuff up, and our very own Kelly Kozak, who is just up here, comes into my office, and for those of you who don't know, Kelly's our children's ministry director, and preface to this whole story, she is awesome. Second preface to this whole story, and nobody, I was trying to think about it, I think nobody really knows this still except Kara, except my wife, but now you all will. The very thought of working with younger elementary age school children, like kindergarten to grade four, is terrifying to me. It scares me. It's, you know, I've done some work with some grade five, six, and then I tried doing a little bit younger, and it's just chaos, and it's, for me, it was scary. And so anyways, Kelly comes into my office, and she's telling me all about Kid Camp and that it's coming up in a few months and the powerful impact it's had on the community. And, you know, as she's telling me this, I'm like, wow, that's awesome. I'm amazed, impressed of, like, just the work that God's doing in that. It's really great to hear. And in my head, I'm going, I'm really excited to pray for you guys while that all happens and watch from a distance how it all looks. And then it, you know, comes to it. And Kelly asks, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to lead our Bible discovery teaching time. And she hands me the curriculum. And I'm like, in my gut, no. There's this moment of fear and this hesitation, though, of like even giving her any sort of response. And have any of you ever had that moment of hesitation, of being asked to do something? Any of you? Like that hesitation and like, you know, I'm just not sure if I can help you move this week. Or I don't really see myself being gifted in that area. Or maybe it's, I want to give a bit more financially, but there's still a hesitation because I got to hold on to that. This moment when you're asked to serve and you hesitate. And my gut response, again, based on fear, was, no, I'm not doing this. But, you know, I said, I'll take it, pray about it, and think about it. And a couple days pass, and I mean, pretty well right away, that conviction of the Holy Spirit kicked in, and I was like, yeah, you're doing it. So, and I did. I said yes, took that leap, and even with those feelings of fear, and I had this incredible opportunity of serving at Kid Camp this past year and had the chance to teach in Bible discovery, telling Bible stories, sharing the gospel messages to these kids, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. At the beginning of the week of Kid Camp, Pastor Brent came to me suggesting that if the kids met their goal for the food bank donations, that they can slime the two of us. And at the end of the first day, we're going to do a preview of this with me standing, I think, here, dropping a water balloon on his head. This is how it was pitched to me. This is what ended up happening on the first day. That's Pastor Brent with all the joy in the world, throwing a water balloon in my head. Don't even know how that came to be. And then when it came time for this sliming, and when I think slime, I thought it'd be like, you guys know like Nickelodeon slime, like the jello-y, like just kind of falls off, and it's like, ah, that was fun, got slimed. Instead, we got, it was called Nursery Worker Surprise, I believe. And that's what we got poured on, yeah. It did not just slide off. And this is serving, though. This is what it means to look out. And you're like, does it? Yeah, it truly does. Kid Camp, the Kid Camp that is put on by this church is just an incredible example of looking out and serving. Throughout the whole process, there's somewhere around like 100 volunteers from start to finish between planning, setting up, cooking, leading groups, teaching, singing, playing games, doing signing out, praying, and just way, way, way more tasks. Around 100 people. Then on the flip side, we have around 100 students, kids, who come during the week. A lot of them from the community. And it's been so cool. Just even in my time living in Gibbons, like I moved in the week before kid camp into Gibbons. And then kid camp happened. And since then, I've come across lots of kids in the community. And they're like, oh, you're the Bible guy, right? Or you're from kid camp. Or the best one I've got is, hey, you're the poop guy. That just happened this week. No joke. And I just walk away ashamed. But this is serving. And today, we're continuing with our One Vision series with One Serve. And you got the business card when you walked in. And we're going to have time to respond to that and write on that, and I'll let you know when that is. But right now, hopefully you have your Bibles open to that Matthew. There's the poop picture again. To Matthew 25. Verse 14, went too far. Verse 14, I'm going to read this here. There we go. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But then the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will be given in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a pretty harsh ending to that passage, it seems, right? Like throw him outside where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why does it end like that? If we look back at the beginning of this passage, it starts with, again, it'll be like a man going on a journey. And if we look back further to this passage before in Matthew 25, it's another parable of a man going on a journey. And we look at chapter 24 of Matthew, such a awesome, powerful chapter of scripture. And it's all about the future and Jesus' second coming and the world that we are living in today, a world where we are waiting for Christ to return, where we must live each day to the fullest that Christ intended for we don't know when he is going to return. And so this is the backdrop of this parable. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to return one day. And this is how my kingdom can be illustrated. Like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Jesus is the man. He's the master going on this journey, handing out the wealth. And we're the servants who he's entrusting his wealth to. In the NIV, it refers to his wealth as bags of gold, and he gives out to his servants. In the footnote of your Bible, it may say the word talents for that bags of gold, which is the original Greek, and more or less means it was a ton of money. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. And this each according to his ability, I want to pause on this for a minute. Did you know that when Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and the same Holy Spirit is living within us that follow Christ today? Do you guys know that? And that Spirit has blessed each of us with gifts. Each one of us. If we look at 1 Corinthians 12, we see Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he explains that the whole church, and this is true of the whole church today, not just Sturgeon Alliance, but the greater church, is a body with Christ at the head. And it's made of many different parts and different functions. And here's a couple important verses I want to highlight to you here out of 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 11, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And Paul's talking about the gifts there. And in verse 17 and 18, it says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And this is emphasizing this importance of, in a body, there needs to be different roles, right? If we were all an ear, then we couldn't smell, we couldn't see, we couldn't move even. It's a weird image, full life-size human ear. And then verses 28 and 30, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And I love how the NLT finishes this verse 30, and it answers this rhetorical question that Paul's asking. It says, of course not. Of course we don't all do these things. That's not our reality. And I show these verses to you because as Jesus shares with us in the parable, each is given gifts according to their own ability. These are the gifts that are talked about, given by the Spirit. Each one of us with different gifts. We're not all going to be youth leaders. We're not all going to be G-Force teachers. We're not all going to be on stage leading worship, thank goodness. That would be a bad time if you had to hear me sing. We're not all going to be greeters. We're not all going to be cooking for dinner on us, preparing food for breakfast club. We're not all going to be changing diapers in the nursery, and we're not all going to have nursery workers' surprise poured on our head. And I say all this so we don't walk away discouraged, because we're all gifted differently in the areas that God leads us to serve will match that. And we're continuing to look at this passage in Matthew, and we'll read about what each servant did with the bags of gold. Two of them doubled it, and the final went and buried it. And the master comes back in this illustration. And when the master comes back, this is a picture of Jesus' second coming and bringing upon judgment. And the first two who doubled the bags, the first two get this awesome response. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That's pretty good. I would love to hear that from Jesus when he comes. That's awesome. And the first two who multiplied their wealth heard this. And I want to pause there for a second, because maybe for some of you, you got the business card and it said, where am I going to serve in 2019? And you're like, well, I'm already serving in this area, so you just wrote something down. Or maybe you're like, hi, you know what, Josh? I'm already serving, and since you mentioned that's what we're talking about this morning, I've kind of shut off. So if that's you, come back. Come alive again. Bring it in. Because what the master says to these two that have been good and faithful, I think is super important. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. So I want to challenge those of you that are already serving somewhere. Do you think God has more for you? Do you think God's saying, hey, you're doing great in this ministry, serving in this way? Just kind of keep it there, though. Don't let that get anywhere else. Or do you think God's saying, this is going great. I want you to share this more. I want you to use your gifts in this ministry as well, serving in this area as well. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. What does that look like for you? In this past month, this has actually kind of stressed me out. Because if I'm being honest, in first looking at this message and talking about serving, I'm like, I'm serving in plenty of places. This message isn't for me. False. Here's the reality check. For myself, and I'm sure the same for Pastor Brent, in our prep time for our message, we're preaching this message to ourselves. This message is just as much for me as it is for all of you. And the Holy Spirit brought that conviction pretty instantly to say, no, Josh, this is for you. I will continue to put you in charge of things. I continue to have other areas for you to serve in. So I came to this place where I started to pray and started to listen. God, where would you have me? And what came to mind, it wasn't a ministry within the church, but a volunteer opportunity that I tried to make happen at the end of summer, and it kind of fell through the cracks. And then when it came to mind, I was challenged and said, you know, God, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to put into that volunteer opportunity. And God gave me a good 24 hours to wrestle with him once he placed it on my heart. Then I got an email from this volunteer coordinator. And I hadn't talked to anyone from this facility for 4 months. God puts it on my heart. 24 hours later, I'm hearing from them. And they're like, hey, you still interested in helping out? I'm like, that's you, God. And now I'm doing that. I have the opportunity to go to the youth center here in Gibbons and hang out at their drop-in once a week. And it's been awesome so far. It's been challenging, it's been pushing, but it's been great. And then we get to this servant who buried his wealth. And he comes forward. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you, your bag of gold. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Could you imagine hearing this from Jesus? You wicked, lazy servant. For me personally, that's probably like the last thing I would want to hear from Jesus. I'm all for the well done, good and faithful servant. You wicked, lazy servant. He hid this valuable gift from God in the ground. He didn't seek to multiply it. He didn't try to use it. He simply hid it. He buried his treasure. And so for you, what treasure are you burying? What gift has God given you that you are burying? Is it a form of like a spiritual gift? Leadership, musically, prayer, cooking, cleaning, financial gift. Have you been blessed with money and you feel like you need to take it and bury it and hold on to it and just keep it? Instead of blessing others, instead of following God's command to tithe? When Jesus comes, this stuff, it won't matter. I recently read a Forbes magazine article, and this is the headline. Successful people agree this is their most valuable asset. And I'm like, oh man, I want to be successful, so I clicked on it. And that's what headlines are all about. And you know what it was? Anybody guess what it was? Time. Yes, it was time. And just even in the past few weeks of wrestling with God for myself, of serving at this youth center and saying, no, God, I don't have the time because I need to hold on to that. For any of you, are you like exceptionally good at saying no to when people ask you to do things? Anybody? A couple of you nodding? I'm not anymore. But I used to be. I used to be. If someone came and asked me for help with something, without hesitation, I could say no. And in my past context, St. Albert Alliance Church, in both working and serving there, I got pretty good at it. And part of this came from a place within school and even my boss and mentor having these conversations of, you know, saying no. Saying no to good things was necessary sometimes. And it totally is. Necessary because we can't stretch ourselves to infinity and we only have, you know, X amount of time in a day. And so this is true. Absolutely, we sometimes do need to say no. Not inherently a bad thing. But it got to a point for myself, though. I'd say, no, sorry, I can't, to pretty much anything that I wasn't already committed to. Helping someone with a project at school? Nope, sorry, no time. Being asked to serve in children's ministry? Nope, sorry, no time. I just kept saying no, thinking I was being wise, smart, really balancing my time well. Then I'd go home after saying no, take that time, sit on the couch for 3 hours, realize it's 11:50, and I have assignment due in 10 minutes. What? So don't get me wrong, like, that was there's still that busy season, but I could have managed my time better. I took what free time I had as a gift, and I buried it so no one else could see it, know about it, or use it. Ultimately, I was selfish with it. So what are you burying? Time, finances, gifts, spiritual gifts. Kara and I are currently renting a house in Gibbons. Before that, we lived in an apartment, so we never had to shovel snow, which was the most glorious thing ever. But before we moved in, our landlord, he gifted us with a brand new shovel. And this is not the shovel, this is a stock photo of a shovel. But it's one of these huge ones and got the sticker on it. And he gave this to us and he said, you know, this is all yours to use to shovel when the snow comes, because it'll come. I'm like, yeah, I know. And now at the end of my lease, if I hand him back this shovel, sticker on it still, not been used once, perfect condition, coming to him and saying, hey, Sneed, that's my landlord's name, Sneed. Thanks so much for the shovel. I know how you are about your stuff, so I kept it safe, kept it in the garage for the past year for you. In fact, I built a glass case to put it in so it didn't get any dust on it. Here it is, stickers on it still. Oh, and yeah, I mean, obviously I didn't use it at all. I didn't want to damage it. He would look at me and say, Josh, you wicked and lazy tenant. You were supposed to use this while you were here. Now imagine Jesus returning, and you say, hey, Jesus, thanks for these gifts, this time, these finances. I kept them really safe. I held on to them tight. I buried them. In fact, I didn't use them at all because I didn't want to take any risks. There, you know, some of that stuff seemed kind of, there was fear that came with some of that stuff. So I didn't want to use it, but yeah, here it is. Here's this gift, these gifts that you've blessed me with, this time you've blessed me with, these finances you've blessed me with. We know what Jesus' response would be. You wicked and lazy servant. These are worthless now. This money, your free time that you held on to, your gifts, now that I've come, now that I've returned, they mean nothing. For me, that's not what I want to hear when Jesus returns. What I want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. So maybe in a moment of hesitation, a moment of fear, Jesus is asking you to step out and serve, to use gifts, finances, or time that he's blessed you with. And we have so many incredible ministries that happen out of this church. It's because of Jesus that they all happen, but it's also because us as a body saying yes and not bearing these gifts, the finances, the time that we've been blessed with. Now, this isn't an extensive list of the ministries that Surgeon Alliance has, but a handful of them. So what would it look like to say yes to one of these ministries or another one that comes to mind? Think about the family project even coming up on Wednesday, starting this week. What does it look to saying yes to serving in that capacity? Is it serving as a table leader? Is it helping out with childcare? Maybe it's bringing somebody, and you're looking out by serving somebody else and coming alongside them and saying, hey, I want to come with you on this journey. Will you come with me, the family project? What does that look like? And I know for some of you too, you are in a place where you're like, yeah, Josh, but I actually don't have time. And, you know, I hear that from students all the time of like, yeah, I actually didn't have time to read my Bible this week because I was studying all week long. They weren't. But maybe you are in a place where you're like, I don't have the physical time. So what is serving hands-off look like? Praying for these ministries. Spending time specifically for these ministries, praying for them. Serving them however that looks like on a hands-off capacity and not necessarily being hands-on and being in there each and every day. What does that look like? And we're going to pray now. And in that prayer, we're going to take a moment of quiet and reflection to listen to God, to set our hearts in a posture of readiness to what He where He desires us to serve. And after that time, my hope is that you feel God has placed something on your heart. Maybe in my time of being up here this morning, that has already happened, and there is something in your heart of a place where you're like, yeah, I feel like God's been calling me to this. Take the time to write it down on that business card, on that One Serve business card, where you're going to serve in 2019. And follow through on that, though. You can come chat with myself, Pastor Brent, the rest of our staff and elders, to see who you need to have the right conversations with to get you going in that way. And if you're still wrestling with that One Serve, what that looks like, take the business card home. Continually pray. Continue to ask God. Head to our prayer room after the service. There will be an elder and his wife there that would love to pray with you through this. So will you pray with me now? Lord, we thank you that you have blessed each of us immensely with gifts, finances, time, and that through those, Lord, we can glorify you. We can seek to make your name famous. Now, Jesus, we quiet our hearts. We quiet our minds that we can focus on you. Jesus, for each one here, where would you have us serve in 2019? Jesus, we thank you. In your name, amen. Now we're gonna enter around the communion table. So I'm going to call our elders up. Our worship team's already come up. And in this time, take the time to reflect in that still. As we begin communion, this isn't an alliance table, but a Christian table for anyone that would call Jesus Lord. And we take communion in remembrance of Jesus' ultimate act of service. In Philippians 2, Paul calls us to have the same attitude in serving that Jesus had on the cross, of humbleness and humility. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. The elders now are going to pass out the bread. And once you have it, just hold on to it and we'll take it all together.